Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, April 24th, 3 days to the draft is when we're taping this, Ira. Everyone's going to be listening when this thing pops, of course, every Tuesday, every single Tuesday on JoeBucksFan.com, iTunes, Podbean, the whole gamut. And, of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Memorize it. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. More than 70 years of Ed Morris quality. That's only, really just 6 years less than you've been out of high school, Ira. So that's impressive. And, at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Ira, they believe customers deserve more, like more selection. Shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs. New 2017 ATS sedans are just $319 a month. Morse has more. Hurry into Brandon's only luxury dealership. That's right, Brandon's only luxury dealership, or click EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. See the dealer for all the details, and we will be talking more about our great friends at EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com very soon, Ira.
Lee, can't you hear that draft bell ringing? Can't you hear it? You know what it reminds me of? Those Westerns like Bonanza, when they call somebody for dinner, they had that little triangle, and they used to bang that triangle, and you could hear it.
Well,
grub's on, guys, grub's on. And that's what I know. That's what's going on this week.
Well, honestly, that's where I got the free agency dinner bell reference from. That very thing. Cling, 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 cling. That's where I got that from.
Isbit still uses that at his house, to gather the clan.
Come on, girls.
Come on, shrimp parmesan's ready. Here we go. Steve, 3 days. 3 days, Steve. I mean, unless my math's wrong, 72 hours away from this draft that Buck fans have been drooling about. And I will now pose the $1 million question to you gentlemen. And for you, Steve, it's $1.99. But here it goes. If Dalvin Cook's there at 19, are they going to take him to Kemper? That's what everybody wants to know about. Are they going to take him?
If they don't, you know what that tells me? They dug up something on him. It to me is clear as day. If they don't pick him and he's there at 19, they dug up something on him.
You know, you got the Winston factor, Steve, the FSU, the production at Tallahassee, the need, the glaring need at running back. Steve, I'm still not convinced they're taking him.
I'm not convinced of the Winston factor. I'm sorry, Jameis was at the podium last week. Did he go overboard, throwing a bunch of love at Dalvin Cook, saying how much he wants him here? He was more overboard for Adrian Peterson.
Could he be playing poker, though?
He could be playing poker, but he called him a top 15 pick.
Are you still ringing that Adrian Peterson bell over there?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that you're telling me Jameis Winston factor, the guy stood in front of the world and wasn't exactly selling Dalvin Cook to all comers. Could be poker. Is Jameis in on poker? He did say he's a top 15 pick. So that there's there's some love
the
right
Bucks
there.
Have not had a bad run with the first round picks out of Florida State. You got Winston and you got Mr. Derek Brooks. Mm-hmm. Not too shabby. And done.
I don't know if that's a run.
Well, I mean,
I hear you.
Of Florida State picks, yeah.
Well, I remember
20 years apart.
I remember McKay talking about now he became the GM for the first time in 95. He had full powers. And years later he said, we'd sat around with Ruskell and Angelo and that group, Idzik, and they all discussed things, and they said, we got to start getting back to drafting players out of Florida and Florida State and Miami. Mm-hmm. The Bucks had gotten away from that. Now, you don't take a guy just because he goes to a state school.
Correct.
But it helps a little bit.
Because they're winning programs. At that time, they were dominant programs.
And, Steve, didn't you run a poll on Joe Bucks Fan recently? About what the fans wanted, what were the results on that?
Well, the fans, I run a lot of polls. The fans are very split. I just did a poll yesterday, a 24-hour poll, made a little more general this time. Do you want the Bucks to draft offense in the first round, defense, a guy who plays two ways, or
was
you
it
don't
about
care?
60% offense?
No, it was 45% offense. That's a split fan base. Mm-hmm. And to me, what makes it interesting, just for the intrigue, value, the fun of it all, because it's sports, it's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be like these other boring Drano websites who blast Hall of Fame voters for no reason. We'll talk about that later. So here's the thing. When you look at the fan base, they're split. So Jason Light can't win this draft. I'm telling you, he cannot win for a long time because most fans are going to be annoyed. that they went a certain direction in the first round.
Liam, I'm not buying it. See,
it's true. This is not optional for you.
Unless the player produces.
Right.
Then
they'll
back off.
That's why I said for several months.
There will be Dalvin Cook euphoria, gentlemen.
No, you know what? Lee knows. Lee's written many times, and I'll let him expound. There's the we need a safety crowd. There's
the
get a freaking edge rusher crowd. There's get Dalvin Cook. There's the don't you dare draft a running back in the first round.
There's also
crowd.
The offensive line crowd, anti-Donovan Smith crowd.
There's the
anybody pushing for a kicker.
The troubled O-line crowd. It's a divided draft for Jason Light. No matter what
and
they
safety,
do
Steve.
For a while, for many months.
Safety.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when guys take the podium, whether it be general manager, players, cutter, whomever. If you watch the beginning of the videos, sometimes they show the speaker walk through the doors with representatives of the Buccaneers Media Relations Department.
Sure.
Those guys are coached up before they get to the podium. So when I mentioned Jameis playing poker, I mean, I don't know this. I'm just speculating. I just wonder if they told Jameis, keep it on the down low about Cook. Don't go nuts about Dalvin Cook. All three of us have mentioned and written Jameis was over the top enthusiastic except for one element of that press conference last week, and that's when you asked him about Dalvin
Steve,
Cook.
Steve, all I'm saying is 72 hours before draft day, round one, Dalvin Cook is the marquee performer on the outside awning. He is. It's not John Ross, and it's not Cam Robinson and some safety from Washington, named Buddha. It's Dalvin Cook. And you know why? Because Buck fans have seen Dalvin Cook play for most of his career. That is a big part of it. They didn't see McCaffrey.
Yeah, there were some comments on Joe Buck's fan. You hear this on sports radio too. That hardcore Gators fans who want nothing to do with Florida State at any way, shape, or form, unless a guy can help the Bucks out. They're like, hey, I've seen this guy play. Go ahead.
They've seen Dalvin Cook, and they like what they see, Steve.
As opposed to McCaffrey, which they haven't seen.
I agree with you, Ira. Of course. I mean, nobody says that the guy's garbage. I haven't heard anybody say he's a garbage player who's not going to make it in the NFL, and we need a running back. So it's a natural. I'm just saying Bucks fans are very split on this draft. You'd have a pretty good split among Bucks fans, a healthy split, if Cook was there and McCaffrey was there. You'd have people leaving unhappy if they took either one, no question, a good amount of people. It's just an interesting draft.
To follow through on what Steve said real quick, you know, there's like 45% of the people get a running back. How many of those people, to explain how divided the fan base is, how many of that 45% say, get a running back in the third round. They are not Dalvin Cook
That's
fans.
Right. That's
or
right.
McCaffrey fans. So it's even more split.
Steve, and let's not forget, as I wrote in my column today, and we easily forget, you know, the situation that Buck fans are in. What a blessing not to go into this draft in particular, Lee, looking for a quarterback. I mean, look at these teams. Look at the 49ers, the Browns,
the Jets.
I mean, this is awful. And these guys get elevated. They're second-round talents. Steve, they're second-round. The Trubiskys of the world, you know. They're not first-round talents. But desperation drives you to do crazy things at the quarterback position. And when the Bucs were 2-14, Lee, there was Jameis Winston. And Mariota's not exactly a chopped liver at number two because he's going to have a heck of a career. And they got lucky, Steve. They got bad, and they got lucky. And let's not forget that.
They got bad because what exactly you're talking about. They were desperate. They apparently weren't a big fan of Johnny Football. Not just him, but Carr. We can go down the list. And so they put all their eggs in the basket of one Josh McCown. Thank you, Mr.
And he
McCown.
And he did what everybody knew he was going to do, lead them to a 2-14 season. So, I mean, they played that pretty smart, if you ask me. No, seriously, Ari, it's good to see that you are an embrace your blessings kind of guy. Here we are, 3 days from the draft. You're just happy we got a quarterback.
And I think it's half the game. It's half the game.
It's two-thirds of the game.
I mean, he's 23 years old. I mean, let's not forget
that. Here's the thing. In the NFC South, it's a big yawner. Everybody's got a quarterback. So we're all in the same boat in this division.
Yeah, but one guy's 38. One guy's 32, and another guy's breaking down in Cam Newton. They don't know what's going on with him. The Bucks are sitting pretty, gentlemen. I mean, Breeze can't go on forever, can he, Lee? I mean, he's a marvel.
You know, it's interesting, and not just Breeze, but, you know, the Brady's used to be when these guys started hitting 35, they were beat up, they were gone.
They were
now
gone.
With how, I guess because of nutrition.
Year-round program.
Yeah, these guys are lasting longer. Breeze, Brady are a couple examples. Aaron Rodgers has all kinds of really, really bizarre, weird nutrition
regimens. Who knows how long Roethlisberger will go? You know, he's 35.
Hey, number one reason the NFL's getting what they want from rule changes. That's number
there
one.
You go. Yeah, that's a good point.
Taking less hits, right?
Hit less, practice less.
Great point.
Everything's designed for the quarterback. Here we go.
I don't know if it's in Rock Rowley's. Yeah, it's in Rock Rowley's original video that premiered Monday on JoeBucksFan.com. Real Rock Rowley video. He talked to Brad Culpepper. I thought it was very interesting that Culpepper said when he played, you can basically get to a quarterback within 5 seconds. Now, no way. It's like you got 4 seconds because guys are releasing quicker. And as Steve said, the rules are different as well.
Sacks are down throughout the league.
Because you have less time to get to the quarterback. I thought that was very interesting.
I think actually it doesn't matter, but for the sake of the point, I think Culpepper said used to have 4 seconds. Now he got three. That was the numbers he used. But it's true. It's true. So I don't see Breeze as running out the door. I just don't see it. I think we're in a new era of quarterbacks lasting longer. And
but by that token, the Bucks could have Jameis Winston, until 2030.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. You said it very well in your Monday column. Those who haven't read it, Iris Collins, he doesn't just talk and bless us with his fantastic voice. Collins appear Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on JoeBucksFan.com.
Quote a man on occasion. Quoted
Mr. Gruden in the last column as well as others. But you made the great point. Just the fact that Jameis Winston is in the building and we know he's a good quarterback, he's already proven himself to be good, not great, but good so far, it frees Jason Light up to do whatever the hell he wants in the draft because they have 80% of the battle's already gone.
Lee, surrounding your star quarterback with talent is not nearly as tough as finding that star quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Not
that's
even close.
That's true. And that's why myself and Steve as well, the last 2 years, we've been just beating a drum to get wide receivers. And I always use the example of Sam Bradford. Here the Rams spent all that money, all those draft picks to get Sam Bradford, and they did nothing surrounding him. The only thing he had to work with was an over-the-hill Jackson. What's his name? I can't think of his name. Was Steven Jackson? I'm sorry. He played in Nowheresville, St. Louis, a great running back who was buried. But that's all they had. No wide. I mean, Danny Amendola was the best receiver he had, and he couldn't stay healthy. That was just horrible.
Watch the Titans. Watch the Titans. John Robinson, a disciple of Jason Light, a very sharp guy, and we know him well. He's going about his business, and he is going. Job one is to surround Mariota with weapons, and they've got some high draft picks this year. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with.
Mike Williams doesn't get past Tennessee.
Hey, Titans, if we see him, we're going to see him in the Super Bowl.
They got a weak division.
Don't worry about
Steve,
that.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not so sold as you are on Mariota's durability.
Bingo.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's getting beat
just
up.
He's gotten beat up quite a bit.
Winston looks indestructible. I don't want Buck fans jumping on me if he gets hurt.
Look at the amazing running game the Titans had last year. Winston didn't have that last year, and he's led the league in hits his last 2 years as quarterback. Hopefully that changes. But, yeah, indestructible.
Is that going to change?
So it appears.
Mariota got hurt in the national championship game.
Yeah.
Got hurt as a rookie. Got hurt last year. That's a nasty pattern, man.
Is the protection in front of Winston going to change, Steve, because you have a new center in town?
Yeah,
let's hit on that.
We are live here at One Buck Palace, recording your podcast hour. They actually give us our own room. How about that? Unbelievable.
Somebody's coming in with drinks in a couple of minutes. A little canopy, a little
Riesling,
a little
Dubonnet.
Caviar.
Real quick, we will remind everyone that Ira will be out in person Thursday night at Sports Legends, Drew Street in US 19 in Clearwater for the big Bucks.
That's going to be one heck of a night, Steve.
The big Bucks Uncensored draft party. You're thinking you'll be there personally there about 7 o'clock
About 7 o'clock. You're buying me dinner, of course. I put you on the spot right now.
Oh, that's why you were asking me when I was coming. I forgot. Yes, I'm buying you.
We got Rock Rowley. We got the commission in the house. We got Isbits. I may show up as a cameo appearance. No, I will be there.
Bucks Uncensored. I'm going to play this for you later.
There's going to be a lot of people there.
People need to listen to Monday's Bucks Uncensored with Justin Pulaski, the notorious Lou from Port Richie.
Oh, Port Richie Lou again?
He loves you, but I can't repeat on this podcast what he said about you. Very colorful language, and cannot wait to meet you. He thinks you are NFL royalty, sir.
Isbits, you better be packing that night because I may need a little protection. Isbit says, they just want to shake your hand. Kaufman,
I think Lou wants to kiss you.
Take it easy there, DeKemper.
Ira, you're going to have at least 30 bodyguards there. Don't worry about it.
This is a clean podcast, DeKemper.
Lou can't wait to embrace you.
But, all right, so I forgot, Ira, that I'm buying you food. So that's why you've been pestered.
All right, continue us.
Yes, I did promise you a giant plate of wings and food. So I'll be there when you tell me to be there, but I'm thinking 6:30.
All right.
6:30. So you'll know when to have your afternoon nosh or whatever it is you do. All right. So, and
today we spoke to Ali Marpet
Marpet took the podium today at $1. And, of course, the question was center. You're playing center. What do you think? What are you doing? You're the center. Now, of course, the irony of all ironies, and this is Buccaneer football talk, so it's endless ironies here. He's talking about how he's watching film.
And who does he study, Steven?
He studies Alex Mack, the Falcons center, religiously. Now, this is a guy the Bucs could have signed last year, and then what?
Then you keep Marpet at right guard, and you're looking pretty.
And so that was kind of interesting. But what was your takeaway, gentlemen, on Mr. Marpet today?
Well, he said all the right things, Lee. He's enthusiastic about the switch. I asked a question, on behalf of Mr. Isbitz, because we've talked about this in private. Steve, I threw it out there. Going forward, do you want to be paid as a guard or do you want to be paid as a center? He deflected it, and sure. Marpet, was well-briefed, Lee, on what to say. My takeaway is he's going in with his eyes wide open, and by that I mean he's facing a daunting task of the mental aspect of the position, Lee, with no experience behind him. I dare say, Steve, it might take half a season before Marpet feels very comfortable with the mental discipline that's required of the center position. Lee, it's not going to come easy.
That's fair. I mean, he even said on the podium, physically he thinks it's easier than guard. Mentally, it's a challenge. So it's very, very interesting. And for your Alex Mack reference there, Steve, for our listeners, Marpet said one reason he's watching a lot of Alex Mack is because George Warhop coached him up in Cleveland. Obviously, that's the Bucs' current offensive line coach, George Warhop. So he figures he might learn something from Mack in relation to what Warhop expects and wants.
I think, Steve, one thing aspect of this transition that should not go unnoticed is he has, and I'm going to say it because you love this word, and I'm going to say it, he has zero experience at center.
Zero. He said he's got some scout team reps.
Are you kidding me? So all of a sudden, we're going to be zeroed in on training camp. Now, that doesn't even count. Preseason, that doesn't count.
Yep.
He has zero experience at center, Lee.
Well, I mean, if they, like some Bucs fans, they think Pro Football Focus is gospel and they're screaming to draft a tackle in the first round. Well, if the Bucs did that hypothetically, guess what? He, zero experience as well.
At least that's as a pro, has zero experience.
Well, there you go. So,
He's played the position, at a college level. Marpet hasn't. I don't even
but
think
still,
he played
that's
in
college.
High school.
But see? Still, that's college. That's not NFL. So.
I understand.
Yeah, two things. I don't think preseason, when it comes to learning a position of center, is zero experience. I mean, you got another guy on the other side of the line who's looking to rip your head off. I mean, that's...
But how many snaps is he going to play in preseason?
I think he'll play all of them.
Interesting.
Really?
No, I mean all with the first unit.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
A little with the second unit sometime. But as long as Jameis is out there, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Maybe
so you said game four, he's not going to be out there.
I just want to say, I mean, preseason at center, that's real when you got, insert the guy coming after you. They'll get a good look at him there. But what Lee said, going back to Warhop, who Marpet implied that Coach Warhop told me to watch Alex Mack, and, Warhop coached Mack in Cleveland. That further goes to the irony of, well, if Mack is such a superstar, why didn't you try to sign him? You had the money to do it. But anyway.
Do we know that they tried or not?
Oh, no, I don't know if they tried
or not.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah, I'm assuming
he could have said, I want to go with Atlanta. They got a chance.
Well, I'm sure he said, hey, we got Hawley. We just ran the ball like a champ. Why would we sign Alex Mack?
How fair is this, guys? Maybe the story behind the story here with the shift of Marpet would be, hey, we got to prove we didn't make a mistake with Sweezy. Is that part of the story, Lee?
I think that's a lot bigger than you're suggesting. I think that's a major story there, because if it wasn't for Sweezy, Marpet wouldn't be moving to center. It's really that simple. They got to prove themselves. Like, hey, we invested in a guy. They kept him. They could easily said bye-bye, made up some kind of injury settlement, what have you. I mean, the guy's been so invisible, Brian Glazer probably thinks he's selling ice cream, You remember that one thing I wrote? the Glazers. Like, what's this guy selling ice cream for? I just had some chocolate chip out of the kitchen.
You know,
kitchen.
You're not going to kick Pamphile out of left guard. You're not going to put Sweezy at tackle or center.
Shame on you, gentlemen.
Wow.
You know, the Buccaneers have told us that it's only about getting the best five linemen on the field. It has nothing to do with money or position.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
Of course I can, because it's a bunch of crap. They got to make a squeeze. They're paying Sweezy. They doubled down on Sweezy. They pulled the Trump. This guy stinks. They gave him a raise or something. You know, crazy.
Might as well offer him a cabinet position, Stephen.
So you know what, Sweezy, he's passed his medical tests. Maybe he is the first guy that I can think of to come back from a full year off, not even a practice, from back surgery and kick ass. Maybe.
And to be fair, look, they talked about Marpet moving to center before Sweezy even became a Buck. I understand but I'm just saying it's a factor in the whole mix, Steve.
I talked to Ian Beckles this week, sat down for his podcast.
Flavor
in your ear every week, Ian Beckles. If you follow his Twitter feed, you can catch his podcast there.
A famous guard for the Buccaneers, Lee?
Yeah, 7-year starter for the Bucs, a guard, couple-year starter at the Eagles. He knows right guard. I mean, come on. The guy played 9 years in the NFL at right guard.
Of course, to hear Beckles talk, he was the second coming of, John Hannah. That's a story for another day.
So, look, I asked Beckles, we talked extensively about Marpet moving to center. And Beckles' take was funny. It was very telling. Beckles says, well, the Bucs must know, the hierarchy must know that he can do it. They must have seen it in practice, and he's got the skill set.
Marpet, okay.
Yeah, he said Marpet, if he's got the skill set, and they've seen it, and obviously center is a much more important position than guard. This is Beckles saying that. Then, it makes sense. I like it. You know, he's clearly got the strength, and Beckles likes Marpet at right guard, which
says
a lot.
Yeah.
You know, Beckles doesn't like every right guard out there. But then I told him, I said, after he explained, I said, actually he doesn't have the experience, Ian. Here's his experience. He doesn't have it. He said, then I take that back. I don't like it. Because how long are you going to go? And his mindset was, if the Bucks, he believes the Bucks are a playoff team this year, and if they're 9-7, how long do you go to let the guy adjust to figure it out? All of a sudden, that costs you a game. Maybe this isn't the right year to do it. So I don't know.
I think early in the year, he might struggle. Early in the year.
I, like you said, there's going to be a learning curve. But I mean, when is the right time? Unfortunately, their hand was forced.
Wasn't forced. They forced it themselves.
That's what I mean. They forced themselves into this. You might call it painting yourself in the corner. I always, always, always go back to the weekend that Marpet was drafted. Jason Light, before the world, said he projected as a center. And we're not talking about a guy who rose through the ranks of a team organization because he had a sports management degree or what have you. This is a guy who played offensive line for Tom Osborne. So he has a clue what he's talking about with offensive line. In Light, I respect it when he talks about offensive line. You know, everybody screams bloody murder, Donovan Smith, blah, blah. You know, the Bucs' offensive line is better than Seattle.
And Steve, let's give Marpet his due. He spent a young career surprising people, Lee, at every
surprised
spot.
Surprised everybody.
So let's not, let's not sell this guy short, Steve. He's a good athlete. He's a smart kid. He's a heck of a competitor. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I don't think it's going to be a snap.
I think he will be able to do it. It's just a tricky situation because of Sweezy, and suppose he can't do it, and suppose Marpet's clearly better as a guard. Who knows? Anything can happen. I mean, a couple fumbled snaps, all of a sudden you got, well, now what are we doing? Because they're not taking Marpet off the field.
And we know what Cutter's like about turnovers.
And we know Cutter's patience level for bad snaps. What do you think that is?
Kenny Bell.
Probably none. Yeah, Kenny Bell.
Point made.
I mean, I just don't think Cutter's high on the patience scale here. If
Sweezy's back goes out in week 3. I think once Marpet's at center, I think they'd be reluctant to move Marpet back to right guard.
Well, here's a question. Do they think Evan Smith, and I've heard rumblings.
Maybe Evan Smith comes in at right guard.
Yeah, I've heard rumbling. Or they could move Pamphile to right guard. I've heard rumblings that, if that scenario happens, that Evan Smith could be guard. And he did play some guard last year.
He played guard very well. Marpet missed 3 or 4 games in 2015.
That's right, his rookie season. That's right.
And Evan Smith played right guard. They ran the ball very well.
That's right.
And he can do it. And he's in a contract year, too, which I'm sure is a huge motivator for him. And what's a motivator for me, Ira, and what should be for everyone looking for a car, is everyone wants more. More time, more savings, more benefits. You'll always get more at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. The people who dare to put their name on everything that you do, Ira. Can you believe the confidence they have in you?
You know, I went to Saddlebrook yesterday to watch the Fed Cup with my wife, and it was a lot of fun. And I had the Ed Morse hat on. You know, a lot of people were stopping me. And, of course, the first question they ask is, does that mean they gave you a Cadillac Kaufman? And I always look at them sheepishly and say, not quite. Isbitz is working on it. But I did have the Ed Morse hat, and it's a real head turner, my friend. I got the shirt, I got the hat. So let's finish this triad, my friend. Triadly.
Interesting. Of course, like I said, you always get more at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Lease a 2017 CTS for just $449 a month with zero down. That's your kind of down, Ira, zero. And enjoy the many benefits of being an Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa client, like complimentary digital alignment checks, car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more. Click EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. There's so many offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. They're on Fletcher, just west of I-275. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com.
It's been a great partnership.
So, Ira, you like the word triad better than troika? That's my favorite.
Maybe I would have used troika there. Next time's troika. What's on your mind, Steve?
Well, we also saw today Quan Alexander come out for a chit-chat with the media, Mike Evans. Anything your sage wisdom took from that?
Well, first of all, nobody was happier that DeSean Jackson. Mike Evans was even happier than Jameis Winston because he's tired of getting double teamed.
Sure,
there's no question about it. Interesting that I pointed out that I believe Mike Evans led all receivers in first downs generated, which is a critical stat. Mm-hmm. And Evans said, "Well, on third down, they don't double team me as much. They play me more honest."
That was interesting.
Yeah. And, of course, when Mike Evans is one-on-one, that means he's open even when he's not open. And DeSean Jackson, what's the line? He takes the top off the defense. Mm-hmm. You got to be always aware of him. And, I think Mike Evans can catch 100 balls this year because DeSean Jackson's not a volume receiver, Lee. He's not a 90-catch receiver.
No.
He catches 50, 55 balls. They're all important. Mm-hmm. And he'll average his 18 yards, and Evans will average his 14. But he's going to have a huge effect on Mike Evans. There's no question about it.
All right, Ira, let me take this a step further because we cannot forget what day this is that we're so close to the draft. Okay, Bucks still need receiving help. Big time. It's their one DeSean Jackson turned ankle from being back to where they were last year.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And if he...
Simple as that? Did you just say simple as that?
If he stays on the field even and he's a little banged up and loses a half step, they've got issues. So you got a young quarterback. Now you're trying to pair him with a young center. And is this team, you think there's a shot here? They go get the wide receiver, best available, first round, open up this offense. Dirk Cutter did it before in Atlanta with great success with Roddy White and Julio Jones.
Him and Roddy White.
Him or Roddy White. And
It's not crazy. It's not. It's not crazy because DeSean Jackson's getting on in years a little bit. One of these years, he's going to lose a step. He has been hurt in the past. Mm-hmm. And then there's not a lot of depth behind it. That's not a crazy idea.
Not a lot. There's zero depth.
If you draft a receiver in the first round or two, and DeSean Jackson and Evans and Humphrey stay healthy, so you work the guy in slowly. That's a beautiful plan.
Well, last year, that's exactly what Light did when he went out and got Ayers and Grimes. He backed that up by drafting Vernon Hargraves and Noah Spence. So, the pattern has already been set by Light. I don't know if the Bucs get a wide receiver first round only because all those guys that supposedly are in the first round that people go crazy over, they're all pretty much the same kind of wide receiver. They're not burners.
And it except seems for like Ross. Except for Ross.
My next sentence was, has he been linked to the Bucs at all?
He has durability issues.
Bingo. He's so brittle. And when I talked to him at the combine, he had said, no, the Bucs had not spoken to him. And he's very brittle. But I think, just the breadcrumbs are out there. Whether the Bucs walk down this path or not, I don't know. But I've got a suspicion they're going to draft a receiver in the second round, whether it be Chris Godwin of Penn State, the guy from USC, Adoree Jackson, who's lethal. I mean, he could do everything. He could return.
I think Lee's on to something, Steve. I don't see it in the first round.
My broader question for you, Iris, do you think that they change the offense a little bit? Now, let me take you back to Dirk Cutter 2012. Matt Ryan's offense is humming there, okay? They've got weapons all over the place. That was the 29th ranked running game. Put them in the NFC Conference Championship game. They're throwing all of Tony Gonzalez and the whole shot. Harry Douglas, very capable third receiver, was even a veteran at that time. Do you see them drafting the receiver? I know you don't like the first round, but even if they go second round, changing the offense, making this more wide open, Cutter's proven that he can do that.
I think after a year of feeling hamstrung, which Cutter certainly felt in 2016, this could be balls to the wall, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be. Three wide receiver sets, four wide receiver sets. If they don't get the running back that they really want in the draft, that could affect things. Hey, let's go out and throw that ball around. Mm-hmm. And Jameis in his third year, same offense. You know, this is not too complex. He'll have to make quick decisions. But in his third year, you would think he can. Steve, I don't think that's crazy either. Get a receiver and go for it. You know, if they throw for 4,500 yards, so be it. It's worked well for the Saints when they had a decent defense. Now the Saints don't have a decent defense. They got to win shootouts every week. Yeah. That's why they go 7-9, not because they don't score enough points.
It's going to be very interesting to see. I think the draft will tell a lot about what Dirk Cutter wants to do with the offense.
And you haven't even mentioned taking a tight end, Steve. That could also be a factor in round one.
Could be. I know you you think O.J. Howard might be the guy.
I think very few people think he's going to be there at 19. Very, very few, Lee. If he's there, I think he's going to be the guy. And then, of course, you got the other tight end, too, that a lot of people are
Miami.
Talking about. Yeah, Miami.
Well, Howard himself was on with Rich Eisen. He said his feelers are telling him 10 through 20 in the first round, which I've heard higher.
You know, I've heard higher. I think he's a top 10 talent.
From the guy himself, it's always interesting when the guy himself hears that.
Yeah.
You know, Lee and I have talked a lot about making a bold trade up, and I thought it was interesting. Lee, curious what you think. The Falcons were one of the three teams. Only three teams brought in O.J. Howard for a visit. One of them was the Falcons. Now, this is the most loaded offense in the NFL. Do they have another big trade up in them to go lethal?
Do they have enough juice to make that to make that move,
of course they do.
Steve, from
sure,
where?
Future picks. Mm-hmm. Future picks.
Yeah, so many fans forget that, you can trade future picks. For whatever reason, they have the mindset, like, you only trade this current draft class picks. No.
So the idea being the Falcons' window's wide open right now, and you go for it.
Well, you know what? And I've written this several times. Steve had one of the most beautiful leads I've read in years. Do you know of any Falcons fan that punches his refrigerator at night, that goes screaming naked down the road, upset, kicks the neighbor's dog, throws rocks at traffic because the Falcons traded up to get Julio Jones?
Zero.
Of course, yeah.
Zero.
Thank you.
Because Julio Jones had to be a special elite receiver, and guess what? He is. So nobody's bitching about it.
And of course, you know, on the draft front, we've only talked offense because it's just everybody's just drawn to that. I think what it is, that hole at running back is like a magnet. We're all just sucked into that.
Yes.
And then we branch out.
And the offense took a step back, Steve, last year.
Yeah. Sure. And then we branch out to the hole at receiver. I just see the receiving depth hole as so glaring and so obvious. I think it's just such a no-brainer.
But it's bigger not any more glaring than the running back.
To me, it is.
Wow.
To me, it is. It's a passing league. This is a passing league going further in that direction. 2 years in a row, receiver depth has killed the team. And you rarely get receivers later in the draft. You do get running backs later in the draft.
They did add DeSean Jackson, Steve. They did add DeSean Jackson.
I know. Jackson. More.
But exactly what we've been saying.
More.
Jackson's not exactly a model of durability. He goes down. This is the word I came up with. I'll use it again. DeSean Jackson goes down if they don't add to the wide receiver core, and I'm not counting some slug from the CFL. That's a Hail Mary. The Bucs are right back in the crap wagon they were last.
That's not a bad point, Steve.
All right, Ira, regarding anything else that strike you with these players, wasn't too exciting today from the guys at the podium here.
No, well-briefed, you know, Quan Alexander, subdued. By the way, speaking of Hard Knocks, I got my money on Quan Alexander becoming a little bit of a star in Hard Knocks. He's a fiery guy, Lee. He's going to let his guard down one of these times with those cameras in the room. And the real Quan Alexander is going to emerge.
Well, I listened to your podcast last week, the one I couldn't be on. And I know there's some listeners, they applaud that when I'm not around. I'm in. I know where you're coming from with this, but I'm like Steve. I'm thinking about what is the target demographic of Hard Knocks. They're going for the casual fan. They're not going for the guy who's the drooling, foaming at the mouth. I'll pay to watch chimpanzees play football because it's August and I need my football. They're not going for those.
So you
guys.
Want the bubble player? The bubble player?
They're looking for personality. And Quan Alexander, you know, he's fiery on the field. You get him off the field, he's blah. There's no personality there. I'm not saying anything against the guy. He's a nice guy.
All right,
but
I just
don't see any personality there.
Who are you suggesting will? The
obvious one is Jameis. I'm thinking maybe Marpet, only because. To be polite, and I love Allie. He's got you mostly think of football families. You don't think of Allie's family as a guy that would. His parents are well-to-do. They've been. They're
got
diverse
some characters around them.
Yes, exactly. So and Hard Knocks likes to focus on family life, a home life outside the field, away from the practice facility. So I think that fits Marpet perfectly.
A lot will come down to which players allow them to dive in.
Yeah.
You know, I still think Dirk Koetter takes the bullet here and opens up his home, opens up, put the spotlight on me as much as he can, keep it off these guys. I think that might be his mindset as much as he doesn't want it to be. I think Koetter would like to help his odds that, you know, focus it on me. I'll control this as best I can. I don't know.
What would be key, and I don't know if she'll agree to it or not, but Miko. If Miko would agree to it, wow.
He's got Miko on the brain over there.
It'll
Steve.
Be a big part of it. Like I said, I'm willing to wager somehow, Ira, you find your way to the Hard Knocks cameras. It's
going
to happen.
Well, if they start talking about the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Fame presentations, you know, I might sneak on
now,
the show.
Now, the perfect flow right into our next topic and our last topic, because I got to give a man a chance to defend himself. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. And let's face it, Ira, you know, I know Pewter Report is out here in town. They don't have a lot of readership. That's just a reality, especially compared to us. Second-tier, minor league kind of stuff. That's okay. There's a role for everyone. But they let off Friday in their column there. They basically fired all kinds of arrows in your direction, painting a picture of you being a relatively incompetent Hall of Fame presenter. Now, Ira, I will say this before your response. I've had people come up to me unsolicited and say, Kaufman's the closer. He's the guy he's the go-to guy in the Hall of Fame room. He's built that reputation over a dozen years. He's the guy. You get people calling you for advice, Ira, looking for presentations. So it was so outlandish. I don't even know what to say.
I certainly didn't think, Lee, at this point in my career, I'd have to defend myself as a Hall of Fame presenter. I have made presentations that were successful for four different people in the last seven Hall of Fame classes. I don't think there's too many people in the room that have a better track record than that. I will say that this particular writer, the only way that he'll ever get in that Hall of Fame room is he brings in drinks and sandwiches for the 46 members. He wouldn't know a Hall of Fame voter if he tripped on one.
And a blank check.
And a blank check. I'm proud of what I've done in that room. Contrary, Lee, and you know this better than anybody, contrary to public opinion, Warren Sapp was not, quote, a no-brainer first ballot choice. Now, I will follow up by saying maybe he should have been, but the reality is different than the perception. John Lynch has been a hard sell. There's no question about it. That doesn't mean John Lynch doesn't deserve to be in the hall, that he won't get in the hall. Rondé Barber hasn't even been in the room. I got two guys telling me he's not even getting in the room. Next February in Minneapolis. Now, I'm a little stunned at that, but that is an example of how, some people outside of Tampa view some of these Tampa icons.
Well, the person who wrote this, I've never seen him on the road anywhere for anything. I've never seen him on the road for a game. That doesn't mean he hasn't. I've never seen him, number one. Number two, I go to the Combine all the time. Never seen him at the Combine. I go to Super Bowl Media Day to work NFL contacts and come up with stories. I've never seen him there.
Owners meetings.
Well, he does go to owners meetings when they're in Florida.
When they're in Florida.
By the way, the same person was appalled that no one asked the Glazers and Koetter and Light the ridiculous notion about Colin Kaepernick. Like, he didn't know what happened when Mike Evans refused to stand for the national anthem. Well, if you wanted to ask that question, get your rear end on a plane and fly to Phoenix and ask yourself. Good grief. That was This person, 3 or 4 years ago, Super Bowl in New York, I sat down like you're sitting next to me on a couch in a media lounge with Joe Horrigan.
Let me just clarify, we're not all on a couch together. Go ahead.
Yeah, but we're on. I was media lounge. I'm talking about Joe Horrigan. Joe Horrigan, give him his official title. He's like the director of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's not the overseer, but he's like the director. He handles all the Hall of Fame voting.
Been there forever.
He told me point blank, and maybe a lot of fans don't know this, you, Ira Kaufman, got Ed Sabol into the Hall of Fame. There was a significant sect of Hall of Fame voters that were galled that a non-player, non-coach, non-GM would even be thought of to be elected into the Hall of Fame. Ed Sabol is the man, the founder of NFL Films. And Joe Horrigan told me they gave that responsibility to you. I'll bluntly tell you
what
he said.
That was the first presentation I ever made.
There was apprehension with you and Ed Sabol, Joe Horrigan told me. There was apprehension. They didn't know if you could do it. He said, you knocked the ball out of the park. And not only that, you got him in. Warren Sapp, last week we were here, Gerald McCoy. What did Gerald McCoy say about Warren Sapp? Only five defensive tackles in the whole history of this game, nearly a century. Only five guys got in first ballot. One of those, Warren Sapp. Who presented them? You. And there was significant blowback from the Northeastern guys who were bound and determined to get Strahan in there over Sapp. And then no one factors in how Sapp had virtually every sports writer in America PO'd at him, and fans like, well, that shouldn't matter. Well, guess what? Everybody's human. I guarantee that matters. When it comes down to 50-50 and you think, you know, Sapp cussed me out and spit on me, why the hell should I give him my vote? That's a factor. So the nonsense that you didn't have the cojones to get, you know, that Sapp was a no-brainer, that's a borderline lie. That's a borderline lie. Now, yes, when it comes to results and statistics, Sapp was a no-brainer. That's not factoring in the Hall of Fame process. So I just thought that
Brooks was a no-brainer. Brooks was a no-brainer.
Yeah. I just thought that was irresponsible, that person to go after you about this. And by the way, if Ronnie Barber doesn't make the room, that's out of your hands.
Exactly.
That is absolutely out of your hands. And now he's already blaming you because he doesn't even get in the room. That tells me this guy has no concept of the process of getting a guy in the room. If that wasn't pandering, it was irresponsible.
This is the only time we're going to address this, Stephen. The only time.
Don't tell me what to do, Ira. Hey, look, Joe Horrigan, just to clarify, he's executive director of the Hall of Fame. Your Lee's conversation with him was before.
3 years ago.
But yeah, before you were even working for us.
He hears all the presentations.
Well, I'm saying this is before you were even working.
In Manhattan at the Sheraton Hotel in Midtown, he told me this.
You were not part of JoeBucksFan.com. That's this right. is just a guy talking to Lee saying, oh, you're from Tampa. Oh, I heard Kaufman. Blah, blah. So it's irresponsible. You know, we hold big grudges here at JoeBucksFan.com. I take great pride in that. There'll be some payback, written payback. We're just going to pick our spots, Ira.
Did it smack of desperation a little bit, Dusty?
No, stupidity.
Back of pandering.
Stupidity, really. I mean, to sit down at a typewriter or a computer.
on the week before the draft.
And to decide that let me write about how Ira Kaufman it may not know
be
what
up
he's,
to the task.
May not be up to the task because of his failures at the Hall of Fame. It's ludicrous.
Well, I can tell you, ludicrous. Sal Palantonio has referred to you, Ira Kaufman, as the closer.
Now
who are you going to respect? The guy that wrote this pandering irresponsible column or a guy like Sal Palantonio?
Am I frustrated about John Lynch, gentlemen? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I've made four presentations. I'm not the only guy in the world that's ever done this. You know, the Jerome Bettises of the world and the James Loftons and the Tim Browns and the Andre Reeds. These guys have been all through it. Leroy Selman was not a first ballot guy. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, in retrospect, Tom McEwen made three presentations for Leroy Selman, arguably the greatest buck in history. So, look, it's not that easy, guys. And you know what I'm up against with the safety position. I'm not using it as an excuse, but it is a fact. Safeties are woefully underrepresented.
Yeah, it's been a hot topic for a while. Now, Ira,
can I say this real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Dungy wasn't exactly an easy sell, was he?
Absolutely. We haven't even talked about Dungy.
Now, you didn't have any help from Chapel in Indianapolis, did
Lee
you?
Lee still can't believe he got Dungy.
I got a lot of pushback from Buck fans. What's Dungy doing in the Hall?
Now, if the author would write about how he was appalled that you got Dungy, and I will agree with him there. But that's another story for another podcast.
Well, I got a job to do, Lee. I got a job to do.
To the best of your ability. Hey, Ira, look, your podcast is winding down. It's not done yet, though. Your podcast, of course, is available on iTunes. You can subscribe, free alert, Podbean, pops on JoeBucksFan.com. Tuesday and Thursday morning.
We're going to do one more before the draft,
and
right,
now,
Steve?
On draft day, we're going to pin you down, Ira. You're going to have to come to the table with names, not just a sandwich and these chips that you got over here, these Cheetos.
I got them taking a kicker out of Montana State.
I want a name of a tackle, damn it. You've been saying the Bucks have to draft a tackle in this draft somewhere. I want a name. You're coming here with this. Go to one of these seven-round mock drafts you hate and pick a sixth-round tackle.
And you keep talking about Caleb Benenach as my go-to guy if somebody goes down over
you,
there.
You give me a name. And so we're gonna pin down Lee. We're all coming to the table with names for next draft, what the Bucks are going to do, and okay, maybe we'll put a sandwich on it, maybe a little
you know what? We're all going to tap our sources before then, too.
I was tapping this weekend big time.
Yeah.
I got nothing, but I was tapping. So
I was tapping something, too.
There we go.
It's called Bud Light.
Till next time, Stevie.
All right, Kaufman.